Welcome to the Pop Culture Show with Barnes, Leslie, and Cubby.
Welcome to episode 22 of the Pop Culture Show, Barnes, Leslie, and Cubby. Please rate, review, and subscribe. That's how it keeps us alive. And Cubby, the Pop Culture Show now on the iHeartRadio app and where else?
What do you mean where else?
Tesla.
Oh, Teslas. That's right. We give you a hard time because every week you mention it, and now I had a chance and I failed.
Are we in Winnebagos? Yes. That's all I want to know.
And coming soon to the Astro Van, and also thanks to our listeners in Turks and Caicos.
Turks and Caicos. That was my first episode with you guys, and I learned that I was saying it wrong my whole life.
That's okay. You're good. How are you guys?
Good.
Really good.
How are you guys feeling?
You know what?
Crazy.
I'm wanting to feel better. I want to ask you guys, how much water do you drink on a daily basis?
Not
as much as you, girl. Oh, my goodness.
Several years ago, I got kidney stones, and the doctor said, you need to drown yourself in water. I just forget to drink water, so I bought this. I don't know if you've seen them or not, but it's a gallon jug. You can get it on Amazon. A Queefit, built for life.
A Queefit?
What?
I don't know.
Fram.
Oh, no.
Is that what it's called?
A Queefit.
Oh, no, she did.
Build life.
Fram. What? Do you know what you're saying?
No, I don't. I just know I have a gallon jug in front of me.
Do you know what a queef is?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Sit. I said sit.
Are you serious?
No, ew. What is it?
You
Uh-oh.
You don't know what a queef is?
Did I screw up again?
Next. Just keep going.
Okay,
you have to drink that gallon and queef it. Do you drink that gallon in a whole day?
Hold it up.
Yeah, you start in the morning, and it gives you little inspirational, quotes.
Oh, it's a quee fit?
That's what I said. I said a quee fit. What is going on here?
Oh, my God.
It starts at 7 a.m. Good morning, and as you go throughout the day, and every 2-hour increments, it's like, remember your goal. Keep drinking. No excuses. Anyway, it's a gallon a day.
Yeah, Do people freak out that you're walking around with a jug with a bunch of writing on it?
Well, the problem is now is coronavirus, so I'm home all day. But
that's right.
I'm dedicated. Right. I'm going to see if I can do this for a month.
Could we have Leslie look up queef live just so we can see her reaction
Leslie,
when she reads it?
Wait, what is it?
Google it.
All right. Google it right now.
How do you spell it?
Q-W-E-E-F. I just did it, and it came right to the top of Google.
Read us that definition.
Q-W-E-E-F.
E-E-F.
Oh, E-E-F. All right, hold on a second.
What's definition, Fram?
It's not what I said.
Oh, man.
I don't know if I can top that.
No.
Read it
and we'll beep it.
I'll never hear the end of this.
Read the definition.
Flatulence can have causes that aren't due to underlying disease.
You don't really have to bleep it.
See a doctor if you...
It is a medical
term. Feel pain
term.
During sexual intercourse, pass gas, stool, or... I can't even read this.
I mean, when we have to... when we publish these, they ask us, is this explicit? Like, we're only a few minutes in and we're already explicit.
Well, thanks a lot.
Cubby, how was your week?
Well, to tell you the truth, I needed that gallon of water Leslie has to put my arm out because my arm caught on fire last week.
What?
Your arm caught on fire?
Well, not really. So, kind of. I had a grilling accident. I was, before I grill, which I love to grill, before I put the steaks on the grill, I clean the grill, and I always put a little cooking oil on it. And then I usually wait a couple of minutes, and then I turn the gas on because it's, propane, and then I fire it up. Well, there were some thunderstorms moving in, and I knew my time was limited. So I sprayed the oil on, and then I fired up the propane and didn't wait as long as I probably should have.
Wait, did you queef it?
So then I lit the grill and I had like a mushroom cloud over my town. It was like poof. But my right arm, totally, all the hair singed off. And you know that nasty smell hair makes?
Awful.
Awful.
It is awful. And it just hung around on my arm all night. Finally, I said, honey, I got to take another shower. It just smelled so bad. So yeah, near-death grilling experience was the highlight of my week.
Whew.
That was huge.
Yeah.
I jumped on a plane for the first time since February, went to Houston for a shoot. And do you know what a mask hole is?
No.
No, I don't.
It's a term. It is an individual who wears a mask in a way that makes it completely ineffective, like below the nose, under the chin, or back of the head.
Yeah,
think about that when you see him. There was a mask hole sitting in front of me, and he had the mask covering his mouth, and that was it.
Oh, boy.
And you just want to go, dude, really? Like, do you understand why you're wearing a mask? And there are arguments whether the masks work or not. But anyway, that's a mask hole. The coronavirus thing seems to be getting worse.
Yeah, you know, and it's terrible in Tennessee, as you guys know. What's going on in Georgia?
Same thing. Between, you know, nightly riots, coronavirus.
Shootings.
Street racing. Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
You know, speaking of COVID, actually, Steven Mnuchin promises to scale back unemployment benefits in a new $1 trillion coronavirus package. And another round of checks are coming in August of $1,200. So another stimulus coming at you in August.
And they're trying to kill what you said. They're trying to kill the diminish the whatever that $600 unemployment a week or whatever that was, because they want to motivate people to get back to work.
Correct. Scale back the unemployment benefits to get rid of $600 bonus.
But the plane thing was pretty easy. It was, you know, an hour and a half to Houston, but there were maybe 20 people on board, and they board from the back of the plane forward, which they should do anyway.
Right.
And then I got to Houston at 9:03, went to a shoot, was back on the plane by 1:25, and got back to Atlanta.
TSA was a breeze. Like, even though we're all pre-screen, you don't even need pre-screen anymore, do you?
Well, I have clear, because I'm a Diamond Medallion, and you get it for free with, you know, if you hit that status with Delta. And so you have clear, but it's funny because there's no one there. I mean, you walk up and it's just...
it's clear everywhere.
Yeah, and you don't have to touch it, which is great because they use your eyes.
Right.
So it was pretty painless. Anyway, some announcements. Next week on the show, Butch Walker, big time producer, former band called The Marvelous Three out of Atlanta.
Huge solo
and,
career.
Among other bands and solo albums. And the guy writes for people like Taylor Swift, you know, people like that that don't really do much.
One of the nicest guys ever, one of the best live shows ever.
Yeah, so we're going to do an on location from his farm in Tennessee.
That's right.
Everybody but Cubby, unless you would get on a plane.
How come I'm not invited?
Come on, you are invited. Come on.
Actually,
get on.
I'm nervous about flying.
Okay,
I don't know why. Not flying itself. I love to fly, but I'm saying I can't get past this whole COVID thing. I'm still a little sheltered.
Also in August, Grammy winner Christian Bush from Sugarland will be on with us. Good dude who ranges from alternative to country. He can do everything and anything.
Also producing, too. Christian's been doing everything.
Also coming up on today's episode, Goldberg.
Boom, boom, boom.
Bill Goldberg from a secret location at his new bunker in Texas. He is such a great guy. I have a funny story to tell about going out to lunch with him.
He's Mr. Motivational. I love that. He's always positive.
Always positive. That guy, when we would do appearances with him, Cubby, he would show up at whatever to promote, like the celebrity softball game we had, and he would stay until every kid got an autograph. And that was at the height of his WWE.
Mm-hmm. I love him already. I love people that are just down to earth and cool.
He's so cool. So Goldberg is coming up.
Well, we've talked often how we love our gadgets, and the iPhone 12 is coming, and there are already rumors going around. Now, Leslie,
I'm a Samsung person. I know.
Yeah, so you could go ahead and take your headphones off.
Okay.
We don't need you.
What's going on with the 12?
Well, so every time a new phone comes out, there's always rumors going around on how it's going to look and all that. So they're saying it is going to be called iPhone 12. Some people are speculating maybe they're going to just, like, change that up because they keep going in order, but it is going to be called the iPhone 12, and there's going to be four different iPhones. Now, Barnes, you're probably the Pro Max kind of guy, right?
I'm already on 14, bro.
What?
What do you mean?
Apple hooks me up. I'm
too
ahead.
You're such a liar.
I'm kidding. You know these leaks come from Apple.
They do, to get the hype going, right?
Yeah.
So the iPhone 12, the iPhone 12 Pro, and the 12 Pro Max are the rumors. And apparently they're going to be bringing back the squared edges, which I'm not a huge fan of, but
and metal, I heard,
right around the edges and the corners, like iPhone 4 and 5. They're going to be bringing that back. They always say this every time that they have a new phone coming, but apparently the camera is getting better. A new camera.
I think we should just all go back to the flip phone.
Yeah.
Hey, they've come back too.
Totally have.
They really have. Also, according to the rumors, the iPhone 12, the 5G seems inevitable. 2020 is like primed to be a big year for the rollout of 5G. And a lot of people are wondering if iPhones are going to support 5G. And it looks like it will. And one more thing, look for a very powerful charger. You're going to be charging in no time.
They may be changing it, Cubby, right? They're going to change possibly from lightning to the C.
The braided lightning charging cables.
Oh, the braided one. And, yeah. And there was a rumor that they may not give you the cable with the phone.
Which is another way to make money, right?
Because yeah, I'm assuming. It. Yeah, it's getting ridiculous.
Apple loves to do that.
I'm surprised they're releasing it, and they're saying September 5th. I'm surprised they're doing it. No, not the 5th?
Nope. No, I'm already hearing mid-October, all because of COVID. So I mean, that could be right. Again, this is the rumor mill.
I heard mid-October was laptops, and then the phones were coming in September, but I could be wrong. They always do it around that date, but during COVID, when people are strapped for cash, who is going to buy a $1,500 phone?
Right.
All right. Show me some sleaze, Fran.
Well, you know, the world lost a TV icon. Regis Philbin dying at the age of 88. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Letterman had just such an amazing tribute to him. He said he was like the Johnny Carson of television, the master communicator. Do you know that Letterman had him on more than any other guest? Like up to like, I think 130 to 150 times, Regis was his number one guest.
I was just surprised to see. I don't know why he's 88. I don't know why I was so shocked to see it, that story come across.
Because we didn't hear he was sick.
He held the world's most, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, he was on TV more than anybody else. Guess how many hours?
Oh my God. 20,000? I don't know.
Yeah, 16,700 hours. It's really funny because last year I had a chance to talk to Kathy Lee Gifford because she moved to Nashville. And, you know, that was an era in television where they were a master storytellers, and she couldn't have said enough amazing things about Regis.
I can't believe you're talking about this, Leslie, because coming up later when I do my pop this year or this week in pop culture, I have a whole thing about the with Kathy Lee, and her final episode was actually this week 20 years ago. But I have the audio of her signing off. So listen for that coming up here in a few minutes.
Really crazy week with Kanye West and, you know, the Twitter rants that he had. And it's sad because, you know, he's bipolar, and a lot of people are really upset and concerned about his mental health. But he did come out over the last 48 hours and apologize to his wife, Kim Kardashian. I want to say, I know I hurt you. Please forgive me. Thank you for always being there for me, because, you know, he accused her of many things, locking him up and being a white supremacist for, you know, apparently doing what she wasn't supposed to do, which was speak about him publicly.
A little late on that apology. Just a little. The damage might be done.
He said that Kris Jenner was Kris Jong-un, like Kim Jong-un. Yeah, it was really sad, but apparently now he's apologizing. We'll see what happens. Justin Bieber went and visited him out in Colorado. So,
well, that should make everything better.
Yeah, it should make. Speaking of the Jenners, Kylie, 22-year-old Kylie, as you know, is a billionaire, right? She has her own cosmetic company. She bought her daughter, Stormy, her dream pony that cost $200,000.
That's in their cup holder, probably in the car.
Yeah.
$200,000.
Yeah. And she paid an extra $7,000 to $10,000 to fly the pony from L.A. to the Netherlands. Or from the Netherlands. And the pony is now in coronavirus. The pony is now in quarantine.
Wouldn't you like to be a supplier to them? Because you know you could just 10X, whatever you're selling, 10 to 20X, whatever the price is. Like, how much is it? A friend of mine has a place called Classic Collision in Atlanta, and I went to go pick up a car one time, and one of their cars was there because he had the only shade of this specific blue that they were painting the Bentley. So they shipped the Bentley to him. They painted this Bentley, this ridiculous powder blue, and then it goes back to them. These people just throw money around.
What are we doing wrong?
It's unreal.
I mean, $200,000 though for her is like what, $200 to us, maybe?
I know.
Because she's a billionaire.
It starts with a sex tape, people.
Is that the key? That's the secret.
That's how you and Leslie started your whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. One of the most heart-wrenching things has been reading the Instagram posts from Orlando Bloom, who is destroyed over losing his dog. Latest post, he did get a tattoo of his dog Mighty on his chest. Mighty's on the other side now, after 7 days of searching from sunrise to sunset into the wee hours today, the seventh day, we found his collar. I mean, it's a really long post, but it's really heartwarming. And, you know, he basically searched the neighborhood. I mean, right. He like every nook and cranny, But he just went on to say that they just have this amazing bond. Were you following those Instagram posts?
I was. And I kept thinking, well, you know, a new baby coming soon. So there's a lot going on in their house. I was wondering, when Katie due like any moment now?
Yeah. So you think the hormones were hitting him?
Yeah. I mean, it probably was. Yeah.
It's like Corona within 6 feet.
Now, you guys know I've been obsessed with the Johnny Depp trial, but the funny thing this past week, and I, you know, he's been accusing her of having all these affairs, but is his nicknames for people. He called Leonardo DiCaprio Pumpkinhead, and he called Channing Tatum Potato Head. So it's really funny to hear what Johnny Depp says about all these other actors he thought Amber was having an affair with.
Right. Yeah, you've really been into this, haven't you, Leslie?
I'm so into it. Barnes, Big Brother All-Star, premiering August 5th, the COVID-19 edition.
Oh, yes. All-Stars, 20th season.
You are such a Big Brother fan. I never got it.
Do you watch it live or do you DVR it and catch up?
Are you kidding? I'm only like 10 minutes behind so I can miss the commercials, or 15 minutes. But no, right. I watch it the night. You know when it came out, it was on every night of the week. Originally.
I remember that. That was like, and what, 02?
Ish, yeah. And then it went to 3 nights a week, I think, and now it's 3 or 4. No, I'm there every night that it's on. You'll have to, this is the time to get on. Which quickly, interject. Give me something to watch on Netflix, Leslie.
There's a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
I asked for one. Give me two
things. Okay, I'm going to give you two things. One that I just finished that I'm obsessed with. The Last Dance, about the Bulls and Michael Jordan.
That's way to be on top of that, Fran. That's so March COVID.
Yeah.
Well, it's new to Netflix, so a lot of people are actually watching it now that didn't see it on ESPN. Fear City, about the mafia in New York in the 70s and 80s.
I'm watching that.
What do you think so far?
Good. It's very good. It's talking about how the mafia, they're comparing it to some of the other cities right now, like Chicago and Atlanta, and where all the crime is happening. It's where they're trying to take the city back, and New York was just so bad. And it goes through the five crime families. It's quite interesting.
Now, are your wives into chick flicks?
I only have one.
Well, Cubby's on the show, too. Well,
I'm on the show, too. Hey,
I thought you were talking to me still. You're like, are your wives? I moved from Salt Lake City. No, I never lived there.
My wife, Coco, we watch Married at First Sight.
Oh, that's good. See, you get on me for watching Big Brother, but you watch Married at First Sight?
Well, Big Brother is just kind of played out to me. But yeah, Married at First Sight, 90 Day Fiancé, and they have like a million 90 days.
I heard
that.
90
Day the Other Way, 90 Day This Way, 90 Day That Way. There's a million 90 days.
Yeah, because Kissing Booth 2 is on Netflix.
Oh, God.
Leslie, what do all your husbands watch?
We love a lot of dramas. Seriously, love dramas. But I will tell you, he did like The Crown, and it is coming back, but not until 2022 because of COVID.
Everything's COVID.
It's unbelievable.
I have a good one for you both on Netflix.
Yes.
I told you about Liar, and you haven't watched it yet, Leslie, because you would have told me you did, and you're missing out.
I haven't watched it yet.
Cubby, do you have Netflix?
I do, right? I do. Yeah. I don't have time with the baby.
I give you more of a break than Leslie. Liar is good, but if you want to skip right to another British, I would call it Liar Meets The Affair, which The Affair I loved.
I loved The Affair on Showtime.
Okay. We're connecting, Leslie.
I loved that show. Okay, go ahead.
Watch Dr. Foster.
Ooh.
I believe there's two seasons. Dr. Foster, it's a woman who believes her husband is having an affair. The first episode will get you, especially the last 15 minutes.
Okay.
You need to watch Dr. Foster on Netflix.
Something I want to say about all these shows. Everybody wants to recommend shows to their friends. And then the friends always say, I'll put it on my list. But there is no list.
Yeah, there is.
Everyone's lying when they say that. I'll put it on my list. There's too much to watch.
No, but there's the Netflix list.
No, but I'm saying, like, you're passionate about something, right? You're trying to sell Leslie on watching the show. Leslie will say, all right, I'll put it on my list. But Leslie, will you ever get to it?
Well, here's the thing. Most of the stuff I've been watching lately have been recommendations from people. Like Barnes, you know, about The Last Dance, Billions. A lot of stuff have been recommendations. And then, of course, I fall in love with these shows, and then I'm obsessed with them.
Right.
Get into, and you can go back to Liar, but I think you should skip ahead to Dr. Foster.
All right.
And then you
can do
that. Then you'll want to watch. They're very different, but similar tone. In the they're UK.
Have you guys, have you watched anything on Quibi?
No, I'm not buying into the hype.
Because now Samuel L. Jackson and Ryan Reynolds are partnering for something on Quibi. I haven't watched anything on there yet. Well, I know a lot of people are excited that Shark Week is coming back on Discovery August 9th, and then there's Shark Fest.
Turks and Caicos.
On Nat Geo. How did this happen? Happy 40th birthday to Caddyshack.
They actually had it on over the weekend. AMC was airing it. They had a marathon on. It was great. And with the 40th logo on there. It was pretty cool.
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Golfers! They're great, kid, not golfers. The little brown furry rodents.
We can do that.
Such a classic.
Great clip, by the way, but come on. You didn't have Rodney? Rodney was...
I just thought it was so overplayed. Rodney's always the clip.
This is really strange. I didn't realize this, but a little bit of trivia. Harold Ramis had realized that his two biggest stars never appeared together. So I guess they had lunch one day and wrote a little scene so that Bill Murray and Chevy Chase could appear together. And then he also said that originally he wanted the theme to be all Pink Floyd. Of course, I don't know if that would have worked out.
That'd
Dark Side of the Moon instead of, you know, I'm All Right by Kenny Loggins. And finally, this is not going away. Lifetime is now getting into the Jeffrey Epstein business. Yep, they got a movie coming out, the Jeffrey Epstein movie.
So they're going to something completely different than the Netflix thing.
Yeah, they're going to talk about some of the survivors.
I was 19. He began to touch me aggressively. It quickly turned into an assault.
He forced oral sex on me right there. And the more I kept trying to resist, the more fun he was having.
I was 14. I told him to stop. He told me, I'll stop if you just take your underwear off.
He wants to do whatever he wants to do.
At 16,
what happens if I say no?
I'm going to fight back.
Chilling firsthand accounts from those who lived it. Surviving Jeffrey Epstein, a two-night event. Premieres Sunday, August 9th at 8, only on Lifetime.
And there's your celebrity sleaze.
Let's talk music quickly. Some people dropped some stuff this week, and I want to play you a couple of clips so you're in the know of what's going on in the music landscape. The biggest one being Taylor Swift with a surprise album.
Huge.
She was hunkered down during Corona and created this album over that time, and the numbers are unbelievable. That Cardigan video got 20 million views in one day. They sold 1.3 million in one day. Spotify, 80 million streams. That's a record by a female artist in one day. Apple Music, 35 million streamed. That's a record.
Again, Folklore. And I'll tell you, it just proves again what a great songwriter she is.
So I called my daughter, because if you want to get to the source of what's good on the Taylor Swift, you call the daughter, who is 18. And I said, okay, she lives and breathes. If Taylor does something, she's on it. I said, what's the best song? She said to me, the best song was The Last Great American Dynasty. And here's a clip.
Their parties were tasteful, if a little loud. The doctor had told him to settle down. It must have been her fault his heart gave out. And they said, there goes the last great American dynasty. Who knows if she never showed up, what could have been. Goes the maddest woman this town has ever seen.
So she says that's the best one.
You know, it kind of reminds me of Jewel in a weird way.
Ish.
Like that Jewel sound, you know, which is not a slam. I mean, I love Jewel, but Taylor is huge, as we all know, but it just has that 1996 Jewel feel.
I listened to the whole album, Folklore, and I thought it's super chill for sure.
I think that's the best song on the record too, that and Cardigan. So I agree with your daughter, Barnes.
Oh, there you go. Maybe she's a music in the making.
Yeah.
A music
director.
I was reading that she did all this during quarantine, because I had heard she had a lot of stuff stockpiled from, you know, past work, like in the last year. And I thought for sure she just put this out with all the extras she never got to. But apparently this is all like in the
brand
last
new.
Few months.
Yeah,
brand
I
new.
Liked the Lover record, too.
Yeah, that
some
was
more new music that dropped. August Alsina, you know that name, because that is the dude that was in the entanglement with what's her
Jada
name?
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah. And what's weird, guys, and I said this when we first reported on that when it came out, that August Alsina, the name of this song is Entanglement. And she made a point when Will Smith was talking about her being in a situation, she called it an entanglement and corrected him. And I thought all along this was some big weird marketing play. What's going on here?
So you don't think he wrote this right after she said entanglement? You think this song was kind of in the can for a while?
He's been working on this album for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
it's just strange that she's trying to make things better, and she's like, no, it was an entanglement.
Right.
E-N-T-A-N-G. Yeah, listen to here. I have two clips. This is very weird. There are mentions about, you know, her and Will Smith. Rick Ross raps on this, so I kind of dig the rap. But here's one of the hooks from Entanglement.
Girl, I know that we don't come in a relationship, but you
you're still fucking with me. Yeah, entanglements. There's an entanglement of shades, entanglements.
So
it seems fishy.
It seems fishy.
Yeah.
Even more fishy, listen to the Rick Ross rap. Tell me how many, listen closely, tell me how many Will Smith things you hear in here.
Shorty leaning on my shoulder, got a question in my willpower. Jaded by her beauty, but her reputation real solid. Moaning down the hallway, I can tell you how I feel about it. Caught up in the matrix, and I doubt if I can get about it. Living like it's no tomorrow. Met your boy with open arms. Told you all my darkest stories. Promise that you won't depart. Keys to over 40 cars. Left me with a broken heart. Till I gotta get around. Favorite artist was Tupac. Watch a movie, then we freaking tangled up. I'm getting deeper. Do this shit like every weekend. Guess I'm just a little secret. Entanglement is when a man will lick and tell you trouble.
See, there's a few of them in there. Will, Power, and he talked about the Matrix. Remember when Will Smith was up for the Matrix and didn't get it?
I think, just, you know, strange. I do think that Will Smith, by the way, I love him as an actor. I think he loves to control the narrative. They both do. And I think they're trying to say everything's okay. But
they're up to something.
Yeah, they're trying to get us all talking.
There have been questions about that marriage for years.
Must be a cut. Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani, who, if there was ever like, ooh, that gross happy couple, it is them. I mean, they are just so in love. It is oozing from every wall.
Yes.
And they put this out, this song called Happy Anywhere. Tell me what the problem is here, okay? This is Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani. Listen to this clip and tell me what is missing. Again, this is Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani, Happy Anywhere. Tell me what's missing.
Since I met you, I swear I could be happy anywhere. Any map, location, you're always my destination. You're the only thing that I'm chained to. I could be happy anywhere. I could be happy anywhere with you.
What's missing?
Gwen.
Yeah. Gwen Stefani, well, her mix is so buried.
Right. You can barely hear.
It's on Blake's new record, but I can tell you that that the video we premiered, CMT and MTV premiered the video. It's adorable. They're at his, you know, his complex, and they are in love. Let me just say that. Mm-hmm. In
when are you gonna get him on the show, Fram?
He's a really good guy, but he's so busy. You know, now he's obviously he does two seasons of The Voice every year. But he did this. Let me ask you about this. He did this. Encore, you know, the company that's doing all the drive-in concerts. He did the drive-in concert over the weekend. Gwen appeared as well and some other country artists, but 300 drive-in theaters around the country, but it's a pre-taped concert. It was $100 a car. So you go
Why
in,
would you pay that?
It's $100 a car. So, you know, you can have six people in the car. Sold out everywhere. 300 drive-ins to see a taped concert. And that's what the new norm is now. Garth Brooks did it. Would you go to a drive-in for a pre-taped?
No.
Unless it was something you just wanted to have some fun with your friends.
Why so expensive? Why was it $100?
Per car.
Per car. So, oh, because you could have
you
like
have six,
five people
you could
in
have
a car.
Up to six people in a car.
Right.
Get money, get paid. And the last one we talked about, you know, Taylor Swift is so great at reinventing herself every single time she puts out an album. She takes a turn and goes a different direction. Here's the complete antithesis of that in a group that never takes a turn and puts out the same thing every single time. Have a listen. Tell me who it is.
And my love ain't your love. It's never gonna be nobody's love. Never gonna need nobody's love.
I mean, it's the same every time.
Yep. And it'll be a huge hit.
When are they going to change the name of the band to Adam Levine? Because they don't even let the band in the videos anymore. And when did he shave his head? I somehow missed that.
He always has a different look. If you ever watched him on The Voice, he was a different look every season. But
shaved his head, and now he has a full-on beard, like something you would see the pilgrims out in the middle of nowhere. It's a completely different look.
But man, I tell you what, they've had a run though, right?
Amish. Yeah. No, I like Maroon 5, but it's just funny. It's like they recorded 700 songs the first time they got together. Right. And they're just putting out 10 every time.
He does have an amazing voice though. You have to admit that.
I totally do. I got off in the airport at LAX one time and he was sitting in the very front waiting to get on the plane. And he had like a black cap pulled down over his head. He's a stud. I mean, the guy's just like a super, super rock star. I like their first album better than any of them.
Have you ran into everybody? At some point,
I ran into Barnes. Rick Ross at FedEx.
See, there you go. You need to have like a weekly feature, like
just
who,
on
I, ran
who
into.
I ran into this week.
Yeah,
he was in a metallic silver, either Lamborghini or Ferrari, like it was a mirror. like a complete mirror. And he was a mess at the counter trying to get all the stuff organized.
When you run into somebody at the airport, do you go up and talk to them?
At the airport?
Yeah, like if you saw,
not unless I'm a really big fan.
I kind of give them their space.
Only person I have done, two people, Johnny Cochran and nice. Tom Landry.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
The two that you can't, that you're never going to get another
yeah,
shot.
I could see yeah, that.
And a lot of times I want to do it just because, you know, I want to do it for the gram, you know, like maybe for Facebook. But I usually don't go up to them because I feel bad. I don't want to bother them.
So I did my first virtual concert a few days ago. I mean, obviously, I'm watching stuff on Facebook Live and Instagram, but I went into Veeps, which is much, you know, there's a lot of these platforms out there now. There's Sessions and Maestro and Stage It. But Pete Yorn did his legendary album, Music from the Morning After. Barnes and I were able to play that when we worked at 99X. That record's like 2001. But he did the whole album from beginning to end. And I like the program because you can, tickets start at $15, but then you can pay more and they give you these fun different levels. And I went ahead and just said, I'm going to give him $100. And so it was like, yeah, get a hug for $100. But it was really cool. And then of course I love watching the chat because you got people from all over the world. So this may be the new norm for concerts for the next few years.
You paid for a virtual hug?
I paid $100 for Pete Yorn because I love him. So it was
women
fun.
Love them some Yorn.
Love Pete
Man,
Yorn.
They love that guy.
But you're right, Leslie. That is going to be the new norm for at least another year or two.
All right, we've got somebody waiting to get on, and we cannot keep them waiting long because he'll kick our ass. Let's watch a scene first from his sitcom, which is so funny seeing him in this role. This is Bill Goldberg on The Goldbergs.
Let's go! Come on, 58. What the hell is that? Saint Sunday School! You're as useless as your communication degree. Well, look at that. A tea party broke out at a football game. Get up, Lopez! I'll say when you have heat stroke.
That's Miller's brother. Look at him. It's like this coach ate our coach.
All I see is a big teddy bear who aches for his brother's love.
What the hell do you think you're doing, Blondie?
I'm here to bring the Meller boys back together. It's time to fix things with Coach Rick, Coach Nick.
My brother? Pass.
You know when that music sounds just like Batman, he appears. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Goldberg on The Pop Culture Show. Hey, Bill.
God, that never gets old, you know?
No, I want to play that just when I get up in the morning and I walk out of my bedroom.
Well, sometimes I need it as inspiration to get in the shower, but, you know, everybody needs their little push in the morning. How are you doing, guys?
So are you working somewhere? Are you at home right now? Where are you?
I'm working right by my pool.
Nice.
If you can imagine one of the maybe 5 or 10 places that you've thrown in front of me over the past 10 years as far as vacation spots to spend a couple days, just pick one of those out, and that's kind of where I am.
What he's talking about, Leslie and Cubby, is a few times we'll put the siren out if I get a call from a big hotel chain that's saying, we need you to film here, we've got a villa. So I'll call Goldberg sometimes and go, dude, we've got this 18-bedroom villa in Anguilla. And he'll be like, ah, damn it, let me figure this out. And he's like trying to shuffle around, well, I got this and I got that. That's what he's talking about. So now he's got his own paradise.
Yeah, it sucks. I haven't been able to go, man.
I know.
Take you up on your wonderful offer.
So, Bill, do you mind being called Bill or do you want to just be called Goldberg?
Come on, Leslie. You can call me anything you want. Well, first and foremost, Leslie, for you to characterize it as amazing is a reach, to say the least. But I think the longevity, I guess, means that the amazing part is that I've been able to reinvent myself, I think. I haven't been great at anything by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, once I feel the need or the quality wanes, I turn the corner and try to do something else. But you know, back in the day when we were all doing our thing back in Atlanta, those were the greatest times. You know, I mean, they really were. Whether it was, you know, winning in front of 45,000 people at the Dome or standing on the sidelines trying to get in, you know, for the Falcons for 3 or 4 years, you know, playing in the celebrity softball games. Those, you know, I've done a lot of cool things in my life, but those are the ones with your good friends that you cherish. And those are the ones that make memories.
So I have to ask, you know, Wikipedia isn't always right. Are you 6'2 and 266? That's what it says right now. Are you currently 6'2, 266? Is that accurate or off base?
Well, I've been hit in the head with a number of chairs, but not that many. I mean, I would have shrunk a number of inches, but I'm 6'4 and about 270. So.
Cubby and Leslie, funny story about Goldberg. One time I was visiting him at his house when he lived outside of San Diego. And we went to lunch, and we went to this little place. I don't even remember what it's called. It was small, like mom and pop, like regular old place. And we went in, and I ordered, you know, a grilled chicken and a whatever. Goldberg ordered like 7 entrees. So you mentioned the 6'4", 2, whatever. He orders all these entrees, and the people knew him there, like the people that work there. And so they come out with this the massive, like the whole team has to bring out his entrees, and they line them up in front of him. And he just one at a time methodically just eats these, you know, full dishes. And I'm sitting there with my one little chicken breast, you know, I'm like, okay, great. And everyone, and Bill, the weird thing is everyone in the room just stares at you the whole time. Is that weird just everywhere? Because you're like a superhero.
What's weird is the amount of that I consume. I mean, what people have to understand is that once you get to a point where you eat that much food, at some point, throughout, you know, your life, food has become different to you. For me, it's fuel. So, I mean, I don't really taste much anymore. I don't eating is not enjoyment for me. It's a necessity. I remember the days with the Falcons that I'd wake up in the middle of the night and eat, you know, double cheeseburgers just to be able to gain weight or sustain weight throughout practice. So, you know, it's a blessing and it's a curse. It's cool to be able to eat just about anything you want and not turn into, you know, the Pillsbury Doughboy for sure. But it's financially straining and, it's hell on your gastrointestinal system.
But the other part, Bill, like when you lived out in the middle of nowhere in San Diego, and I know now in Texas you're like out in the middle of somewhere with a compound. And everywhere you go, though, the times that I've been with you multiple times, people just stare at you. And it's because you're this bigger than life character that really is that big. So when people see you, they're thinking, you know, there's Goldberg about to get in the ring. And you have the glasses, you know, your cool sunglasses on. You're in some loud muscle car and you pop up and get out and go in and eat. And you can't just have your meal. Everyone's staring at you. Does that ever get just weird?
It's all an experience, man. I mean, you take the good with the bad, and I still consider that good. I'm greatly appreciative that anybody and everybody, you know, would notice me for something favorable as opposed to me being in jail or something. You know, it's a lifelong journey that has its ups and downs, and your privacy at the end of the day is one of those things that can be compromised at times, but that's why I'm sitting in the middle of 130 acres in the middle of nowhere, and you can't even find me on Google Maps. I'm either working or I'm not working, and I'm an extremist, and I'm from one end of the spectrum to the next. So every time I step out of my house into the public, I have to have that mentality that, you know, you obviously treat everybody how you want to be treated. And, you know, there are some freaks out there for sure. You've seen them. But it's an honorable deal, man. It really is. It's, means, I guess, throughout the years I've done something right.
I didn't like what you said earlier about you never did anything great. That is not true. Like, first and foremost, like, you had an undeniable streak. You had so many wins. What was it that kept you so focused and in the game?
I mean, you guys know me. There were a lot of reasons that I was successful. First and foremost, I was in the right place at the right time with the right, you know, the business was taking a turn. Hogan and those guys left the WWF, the WWE, whatever it was at the time. You know, the WCW Turner gig was you know, head-to-head with, you know, the preeminent wrestling company in the world. And I was in the right place at the right time. Hogan needed, you know, a baby face of, you know, somebody from, I guess, nowhere. And it took a long time for me to decide to be in the wrestling business because, and you guys can understand this, you weren't in the situation. But, you know, when I played in Georgia and when I played with the Falcons, I would always go out in Atlanta, and those were the times, right? And I'd always see a number of wrestlers, and I never wanted to be associated with the certain ones that I saw all the time. So it took me a long time to make that decision. So what kept me going all the time was me having to look in the mirror and be proud of what I was doing. And I'm always of the opinion that if you're going to do something, you've got to do it right, period. End of story. And you're going to got to give 1,000%. You know, there, unfortunately, in this day and time, mediocrity is kind of the norm. It's accepted. But, you know, in my book, I don't want to be like anybody else. I don't want to be as good as anybody else. I want to be better in every respect. So what kept me going was, you know, the one thing that my dad always told me, you're always, you know, you're only as good as your next match.
What is your current WWE status right now at this very moment?
I am contracted with the WWE for the next 2 years through 2022-23. You know, I've got two matches per year. I've exhausted my limit this year quite early on April the 5th, you know, with WrestleMania, you know, under these really weird circumstances. But I've got a couple other extremely interesting projects right on the cusp. But, you know, as you guys know, in the entertainment business, right now everything is kind of on hold unless it's a production of, you know, 10 or under pretty much. So we got a lot of cool things that people are going to find out about pretty soon. But yeah, my WWE commitment is still going strong, man. At 53, I never would have imagined, especially after making fun of Flair when he was doing it in his early 40s. But I haven't read everything that Tyson said about, you know, his comeback. But, you know, the one thing that struck me, which was the reality, age is just a number. And I think that we're part, Tyson and I, and, you know, I don't want to group myself with him because I'm not the athlete that he is by any stretch of imagination, but we're of a certain generation that continues to have a lot of pride in what they do. And so it doesn't surprise me one bit that he's in the shape that he's in, because I have the same mentality that he does. You know, I still have to walk around and be Goldberg. And so, and I also have a 14-year-old son, but, you know, I try to train with every day who's playing his first year of football this year. So it's all about setting an example in a positive way every single day and trying to be your best.
Bill, some of the guys from the WWE podcast, they listen and they sent in a question. Let's listen. This is Matt.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm the creator and host of the WWE podcast. And this question is for Goldberg. If you were to pinpoint a single piece of advice that you've gotten over the years that has been the most important to your success as a pro wrestler, what would that be if you're able to just pinpoint a single piece of advice? And thanks again.
Oh, man, there's a number of them that were integral, I think, in my success. But the most simplistic one is, once you think you're going slow, go even slower. You know, because I get really antsy when I get in the ring. And a lot of people do, and they're nervous. And the one thing that always helped me being Goldberg and being different and being able to control every aspect of my performance, whether it's breathing or a turn, is taking your time. There are a number of times when I didn't do it, and I was mediocre at best.
It's good advice. It's hard to do.
I think it is. You know, you can apply it in everything.
Goldberg, your place in San Diego, I've not seen your Texas place yet, but you had how many garages were out there? 8?
Man, there were, let's see, the 14.
14 garages. He had a gym that's bigger than any LA Fitness that I've seen, with every piece of gear you can imagine. He had built his son a, not a go-kart track, but like a off-road track. It looked like a place where you would pay admission to get into, to go ride a four-wheeler over, you know, jumping over things, and it was insane. Do you have that? Have you upped yourself at your new compound in Texas? What's there?
I don't know how to answer that question and not sound like a dick, but, you know, I mean, seriously.
It's toys.
I mean, hey, man, I've worked my ass off. I mean, you guys know it.
No one doubts that.
Really hard.
No one doubts that.
And I live on 130 acres, and I'm about to build a 15,000 square foot garage that I'm going to put 37 cars in.
So what else is there? So you're building this massive garage, and is there like another track for your
put
son?
Put it this way, Leslie. My wife got a zebra last week.
She got a zebra?
Like an animal zebra?
Are you going to go Tiger King on us?
Wow.
Dude, I live on 130 acres with about 20 longhorn steer, llamas, sheep, goats, deer, four kind of deer, miniature ponies.
It's a safari out there.
Charge admission, yeah.
Some kind of, my wife's into horses. Put it this way. She can have whatever kind of animal she, inside there's a miniature deer in my kitchen right now.
What will it cost to get a picture of Goldberg on a mini pony?
Oh, no, that won't happen. He'll kill me.
Yeah.
The thing, it's only like 28 inches high, but it's a knee biter, man. He'll blow your kneecaps out. But
how does one buy a zebra?
But here's the deal. Wanda, she was given the zebra. We have three houses down. They have giraffes. We live in the middle of nowhere, guys. We are on 130 acres. And, you know, I got a big pond in the back where I just hang out and fish and relax. And it's our end game, you know. My wife was an ex-stunt woman, and she put her body through hell throughout the years. We got a 14-year-old boy that we moved out to this area of the country so he can pursue his, you know, academic and his sports love. And hopefully we can relax and retire here. But, you know, things are still going strong. One of the projects I got, you know, unfortunately has me living in LA for a couple days a week. So, you know, right when I find my end game, I got to turn around and go right back to where I came from. But, you know, I'm very lucky. We've all been very successful throughout the years. And, you know, I thank everyone that's around me, and, you know, it's just persistence. It's hard work. And like I said, I haven't been really good at anything. So I got to keep reinventing myself and trying again. So,
how far is the airport from your house? Because we're all coming over.
Well, there's three ways. There's a private, there's a guy with a strip 3 miles down the road. The local airport is 12 miles down the road. And I will tell you that San Antonio is an hour away from it. If you guys flew you know, like a little private, you could get in really close.
There you go.
I'm coming.
Parachuted in. I mean, I got a great landing pad over here.
Hey, we haven't talked about Goldberg the actor. Like, you've been in a lot of movies, TV shows, from the Goldbergs to NCIS LA. Like, any acting gigs coming up?
Yeah, that's one of the ones. That's why the LA commitment, you know, which is a spinoff from NCIS and myself and an unnamed superstar are starring in it. And it's kind of like a modern day A-Team kind of gimmick. And it's going to be really awesome. It's something I've wanted to be for a very long time. It's a fun project, and it's going to have to be fun to get me to leave where I am right now.
That's going to be awesome. You can't give us a hint of who the other guy is?
Absolutely not.
Oh! That sounds fun. Man, you are just, congratulations,
that's
Goldberg.
Amazing.
That is, you're just killing it, man. Between you and for you to do a role like you do on the Goldbergs, when you're putting yourself out there with funky little tight shorts and knee socks, I mean, it shows a lot of
more hell from that, man. I'll tell you what, Brian Callen and, you know, everybody on that cast is indicative of their characters to the nth degree. So, I mean, it's just a blast every time I'm there. And it's, hey, man, I'm as goofy as the next guy. I have no problem emasculating myself. My wife does it to me every day, so I'm kind of used to it.
Well, thank you for coming on. It was so great to catch up with you, Bill.
Oh, man, it's a true pleasure to talk to you guys again. And hopefully we can do it again soon. Everybody be safe out there. I miss you guys. And it was an honor and a privilege to be on, and have a wonderful Sunday.
Well, just get that teed up for your next WWE match, Goldberg versus coronavirus, and just take care of it. Done. Finished.
God, that would be nice. My father was an obstetrician gynecologist, so I kind of have being a doctor in my blood. But I don't think I could. I don't think I can take that one on.
You've met your match. All right, Goldberg.
Yeah, that's for sure. You guys be well.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Ah, major revelation there at the end. Another NCIS spinoff. How many is this?
Oh, I know. That is cool. Like, but good for him.
I wonder who the other sidekick will be. That'll be fun.
Such a great guy. Such a cool dude. All right, Celebrity Confidential. That's our series we've had for one whole week. And that's where we just tell stories from beyond. Stories from beyond the backstage door. Stories from beyond the set. And this week, it is Leslie Fram. Cannot wait to hear this story.
Well,
what is it? I don't even know what it is.
You know, if you think about all your all-time favorite TV shows, like I think Game of Thrones might be mine, and then, I don't know, Breaking Bad, but Dexter is definitely in the top five.
Oh, yeah. I never got into that, but everyone loved it.
It's incredible if you ever want to go back and binge on it. But Michael C. Hall, obviously, you know, his claim to fame was Dexter and Six Feet Under. When I was working in New York at a rock station called WRXP, we had Michael C. Hall in for an interview. And this was at the height of Dexter, season five finale, 2010? Yeah, 2010. So we didn't know what to expect, but we made the room that we did the interview in a kill room. Now, did you ever watch any of Dexter, Cubby?
I did not. I'm sorry.
So the kill room where he would kill people in Dexter was all like, you know, plastic and garbage, like the whole room. He would cover all the walls. So we covered all the walls to make it a kill room, of course, not knowing what to expect. So we're like kind of nervous, not knowing, oh, is he going to be pissed about this or his handler's going to be upset? No, he...
So like blood everywhere, you have like...
No, just the whole plastic everywhere, just like he would for a kill room in Dexter. So he walks in to the radio station by himself, kind of wandering the halls, and we find him, super cool guy, and we're like, oh God, what is he going to think? What's he going to think? He walks in, he kind of looks around at the kill room, and he's like, huh, nothing like a little murder to bring friends together. So he was really fun about it. Very cool. We do the interview. He does a takeover, plays like, you know, an hour of his favorite music. Played Bob Dylan. He played The Who. He played, you know, a bunch of rock stuff. So that was it. Great guy. Fast forward 2013. I am going to LA to see The Who with a friend of mine. This was like the big Quadrophenia tour, you know, with everybody in the band. And I think it was at the Staples Center. And
who?
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 So we're, so my friend and I are, she gets the tickets, great seats. We're going to see The Who. I'd never seen The Who before. So psyched. We're sitting there and the show starts. 10 minutes into the show, we see a couple of guys kind of crowding in our space because everybody's standing, right? You're standing up because it's The Who. I'm like, guys are in our space. They keep crowding us. They're getting closer and closer. I'm getting agitated. I'm like, wait a second. We bought these tickets. These are our seats. These guys are like, I'm getting ready to turn around and say something. I mean, Barnes, I know you would have said something, right? If somebody's crowding into your space at a concert.
Well, yeah, just because that's your space.
It's your space.
You paid for it.
So
yeah.
I turn around. I'm about to say something. And I turn around and... it's Dexter. It's Michael C. Hall and this buddy of his. And I'm like, yeah, I was about to throw shade at Dexter. And he goes, hey, we're really sorry. We're just like really big fans. Do you guys mind? And we're like, oh, no, of course not. You can hang with us. So we end up watching the show with Dexter, with Michael C. Hall and his buddy for the whole show. Of course, I was going to let him in my space. He's Dexter.
Did he remember everything previously from 3 years ago?
He kind of looked and kind of acknowledged like, oh, hey. And I was like, yeah, right. Hey. So I was obviously at that point, I was very cool. And I was like, of course, I'm going to let Michael C. Hall watch The Who with us, whether we were crowded or not.
Queef it. All right. That was a good story.
Michael C. Hall.
Yeah, Anthony Michael C. Michael. Hall.
You were thinking of
Six Feet Underground. That was my Michael C. Hall. That was the show that I liked him from. I just couldn't get into Dexter. And Cubby, you're the same way?
I couldn't either.
It was really good.
I hope you still love me, Leslie.
That's okay.
I've tried it multiple times. Just never worked.
It was like eight seasons. That show was huge.
You want to talk about huge, guys? I have the ratings.
Oh,
yeah.
Here we go.
You ready for this, guys?
No.
No, you're going to love this.
For our show.
For our show. How many people are tuned in and the rankings? Big news, guys. We're number five in Guatemala, but we're down one. We are down one. We are number four. We're down to number five. But you
killing
know what?
Killing it.
It's Guatemala.
Where is that?
Now, this is unbelievable. We probably should have a ratings party. We're number one in Bolivia.
Wow.
For three weeks in a row, number one.
Yeah.
In Bolivia.
Thank you, Bolivia.
Yep. And this, though, is kind of sad. We have really dropped like a rock in Canada, where we're currently number 2,306 in Canada.
They just don't get American humor at all.
Yeah, maybe so. And by the way, finally, we were a former number one in Turkey. We are now completely out of the top 50. So bye-bye, Turkey.
What are we doing
wrong? I don't know, but these numbers are dropping in Canada and in Turkey.
Help!
This is Cubby's Pop Culture Throwback, a rewind into the vault of music, movies, and moments.
All right, guys, we're going back to the year 2000. Where were you in the year 2000, Leslie?
Well, we were just talking about that. I was at 99X playing Pete Yorn records.
Back in the year 2000, there was a lot going on the charts. There was a lot going on in the theaters. Do you know what the number one song this week on the pop charts was? Now, obviously, you don't off the top of your head, but let me give you a hint. It's a boy band. Pop charts. All right. Boy
NSYNC.
Band.
NSYNC.
Boom. Leslie Fram for the win. Number one song in the country 20 years ago this week. It's going to be Me by NSYNC. And I thought you were going to say like the Backstreet Boys, because when you say boy band, there was a million of them out in the year 2000. You had O-Town, yeah, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys.
All huge.
Westlife. I mean, I can go on and on. There was a lot of them out in 2000. The number one song on the country charts 20 years ago this week. It went over to crossover everywhere. It's our girl, Leanne Womack. I hope you did. Such a great
really
song.
Really inspirational. I hope you
dance. Sing I Hope You Die?
Dance.
No, I Hope You Dance, Barnes. Dummy.
I hope you never feel those mountains.
That's a great song. I'm sorry. I play that all the
Timeless.
Time on the radio station I'm on here in New York. The number one song on the modern rock chart this week in the year 2000.
Oh, 2000.
Not Jesus Jones. It's not Jesus Jones.
Blink 182.
Wait. Give us a hint.
Okay. This was their first song. And they went on to do, they went on a pretty good run after this. They're from Mississippi, I believe.
Oh, Three Doors Down.
Boom. Boom, Three Doors Down. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, will you be there holding my hand? I feel like this is the only song they had that really kind of rocked.
No.
Everything else was kind of, no, but all the singles were like kind of like...
Here you know, without you, baby.
They were
kind of
slow. Yeah. But
we did a cool thing, Cubby, with them one time. We did a show from our listeners' living room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We showed up with Three Doors Down. You had to. What was that thing called, Leslie?
Home Invasion. Remember Tommy Lee?
We could never do that. Yeah, we did Tommy Lee set up a drum set, Cubby, in someone's front yard, and they didn't know it was coming.
Oh, that's cool.
And then
too
we
cool.
did the whole show at their house. So we literally, at 4 a.m., we started setting up the drum set in front of this house in Atlanta. And Tommy Lee shows up in a van. The door opens. He walks up, sits down, starts twirling his sticks, and did a full-on drum solo in the
wow.
neighborhood. People started coming out of the doors. I wish we had video of that. But yeah, Three Doors Down in someone's living room.
I have a quick Three Doors Down story, too. I was eating at Virgil's Barbecue in Times Square in New
Love.
York.
Virgil's.
Remember Virgil's?
Yep. Yeah. I've been there.
And I ran into some friends from Universal Records, and they were having dinner with a new band. And they're like, hey, Cubby, we just signed them, Three Doors Down. Had no idea who they were. And then, of course, they end up being huge. That's cool when you meet, and they'd never been to New York before, and they were all excited. Number one song on the R&B charts this weekend was, or this week, was a group called Jagged Edge, and the song called Let's Get Married. We ain't getting no younger, so we might as well do. This was a jam. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember the
oh,
song.
Yes.
But... the number one movie at the box office 20 years ago this week was Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
Yeah. Well, Mama, funny you should say that. Denise and I have been doing some research on aging, which has proven to be extremely promising.
Oh, baby, don't virgin public. Grandma don't want to hear all that nastiness.
He bringing the bass, huh?
Honey, you're going to be virgin. Cover your mouth with holding ears.
Hold that shit in. You know your grandma don't like that, though.
Don't destroy everybody's meal.
Yes, and don't belch without... Uncle Sherman's talking.
Such a great scene. Both movies had that famous dinner scene that was classic. And, you know, this really hit me hard over this past weekend because I was working on This Week in 2000. It was actually 20 years ago this week that Kathy Lee Gifford made her final appearance as co-host on Live with Regis and Kathy at the time. And then we lose Regis over the weekend. And I was working on this before Regis passed away. So it was just kind of odd that I have this sound in the system. This is when Regis and Kathy were saying goodbye. This was July 28th of the year 2000. Hang on a second.
So
a lovely cake. Look at this.
Yes. Huh?
1985 to 2000. Thanks for the memories, and we really mean that. So, goodbye. Thanks for everything. It was a great 15 years.
I love you.
Wow.
There you go. Finally, the biggest show on TV 20 years ago this week. It was brand new. It had only been on since May, and it was really hitting a peak around this time. It was Survivor, the very first.
This was the beginning?
The very, very beginning of Survivor.
Still going.
Still
the
going.
The start of an era.
I know, I know.
I watch it still.
Yep, still around. That and Big Brother.
All right, thanks for listening to the Pop Culture Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Butch Walker will be our guest next week. We'll be on location, except for Cubby, who doesn't want to come because he's scared to fly.
Yep.
We'll be on location in Tennessee at Butch's farm. And don't forget, if you're feeling a little parched, always remember to queef it.
Q-U-I-F-I-T. Stop it.
See you next week.